Good afternoon and welcome to our Good Friday service today as we celebrate Christ going to the cross and his death in anticipation of Easter Sunday and his resurrection. I'm so glad that you could be with us today. As we begin our worship service, I'd invite you to turn your hymnals to page 297. We'll start with Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Standing as we share together in our opening prayer in unison. O Lord Jesus, as we face the cross today, we wonder at your love for us. We can never deserve what you did for us on this day. Looking at the people who brought about your death, we can see so many of the same faults in ourselves, and we are sorry for them. By faith, we gladly take the forgiveness you offer us from your cross and through the door you pushed open. Then we can come back into God's family where we really belong. Amen. You may be seated. A brief reading of Scripture from John chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and said that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put a sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You may remain seated as we sing the Old Rugged Cross, number 504. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Would you join together with me in the prayer that Jesus taught us by praying with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our other scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. It's Matthew's account of Jesus' death. And it reads like this. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. One of the privileges that I have as a pastor is to be with people during good times and bad times. And I've had the privilege of being with a pretty good number of people when they died. It is, if you've never had that experience, a very spiritual moment, a moment filled with awe. In some ways, it reminds me of childbirth, the moment that happens. There's something miraculous about it. There's something tangibly real that happens in the moment when somebody takes their last breath. And I don't mean to be macabre in any way, but to point out that when Jesus died, not only was his death similar to ours, but it was certainly different than ours. His death was the culmination of all that God had sent him to. And so as Jesus came to the very end of his life, he made this statement. And we've been preaching through a series now in which we're looking at words that Jesus has said. And he said in our first reading, it is finished. And with that, he gave up his spirit. Over the course of my life, whether that be judged short or long, I've given a lot of thought to those words. In part because, as I look around my house, there are projects that aren't finished. Do you have that in your life? I brought with me something. I bought this about 10 years ago. It's a kit for an airplane. And I put it together. What you see was pieces that I actually assembled. I have the body. I have the wings. I have the rudder. I even have the very back of the tail. All of it's here. It's just all still unfinished. Do you have anything like that in your life? Maybe you walk past a pile of something inside your house or outside your house, and you say to yourself, one day I'm going to finish that. If you drive around Morgan County, you will see lots of these projects. There are old cars that people have put on their lawn. And they've said, one day, I'm going to finish that. How many times do you think that one day actually comes? I kept this plane as a reminder to me. The reason why I didn't finish it was really two things. The first one was an easy one to say, and that was, we decided to start having a family, and it wasn't wise for me to spend the money to finish the plane, because I had to buy what came with the kit. The kit was not expensive. What didn't come with it was the engine and the servos and the remote control and everything else, which is going to be some money. And I decided that it wasn't worth the money to spend at a time when we're getting ready to start to have a family on something like this. Plus, I knew that it was going to take me away time-wise from that. But the second reason was this, and it was only till later that I honestly said that, and that was, I was afraid that I would spend all the time putting it together and one of two things would happen. It either wouldn't fly or I would crash it the first time it flied. And I suspect that even if I had the money, I might not have done it. And there's something really interesting that happens inside of us when something is unfinished. It draws something up inside of us. It says, you know, I really wish I'd done that. I really wish that I'd just taken the time to complete that. And every once in a while, we'll get a burst of energy or a burst of time, or it will just bother us enough that we will actually take up a project that's been sitting there and actually finish it. And when you do that, you're amazed, first of all, at how little time it actually takes to do it. And second of all, at how much better you feel when it's actually done. It's an amazing thing. So let me go back to this idea of spending time with people who have passed away. Because I've noticed that as I walk with people to the end of their life, regardless of their spirituality, there are some people who come to the end of their life and are just ready. They're just ready. And there are other people who aren't. They fight and fight and fight and fight. And I don't, frankly, know why that is. Some people just have a fighting spirit. Some of us are going to be stubborn till the day we die. Hello. Some of us still think we have stuff to do. Some of us have unresolved stuff. I don't know all why it is. Some people who are willing and ready to go, some of them have stuff done. Some of them are just too tired to finish what isn't done. And they're just letting it go. But regardless of which one we will be, I'd like you to think about this question this afternoon. When you come to the end of your life, because we want to model Jesus, will we be able to say, it is finished? I really don't care whether this airplane is finished before I die. If I found out today that I was going to die and this airplane didn't get finished, that would not bother me a bit. There are some things that are important to finish and other things that aren't. You may have something at your house, a compost pile, a set of leaves, something that needs to be moved. And if you die today and that doesn't get done, it's not going to matter a whit. There are other things, though, that if left unfinished really matter. Things that need to be said to people that you care about. Words of encouragement or love or affirmation that's in there but have never actually been said. Things that need to be forgiven that haven't been forgiven. Attitudes that need to be corrected. When Jesus said it is finished, what did he mean? He was certainly finishing his life. He was saying, this is done. But it was more than that. He was finished in fulfilling the prophecies that God had laid out about his coming and his life. He was finished about teaching us about who God is and what God wanted us to know about himself. He was finished in showing us God's love. He had accomplished becoming the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father. He was finished in ushering in the kingdom of God and saying, here I am. I have come to show you that God's kingdom is coming. It is near and it is coming upon you. He was there to finish the task of calling us to repentance. The Holy Spirit was going to follow up all these things. In inviting us back to the Father, in redeeming the universe, Jesus was given this assignment and he was able to say, it's finished. What you asked me to do, I did. That's a powerful statement. So Paul comes to us later on and he says to us, we're supposed to run the race. By that he meant our lives. And specifically, not just like tear through life. Some of us have that under control. He means running toward Jesus, becoming like him, listening to what he asks us to be and to do, and doing those things. Because you see, in a race, there's always a finish line. Always. Part of what happens, though, is that if you're in a race and you can see the finish line, you run differently than if you're in a race and can't see the finish line. I was a sprinter in high school. I didn't run anything more than a 400 because I couldn't. My body would literally give up. 400 was stretching it. My best races were my 100 and 200. I could run all out. And from the very moment I started, I could see the finish line, which allowed me to give everything I had. Cross country would kill me. If I had to run 18 miles, well, it would kill all of us probably, wouldn't it? But aside from that, one of my problems beyond the physical piece was I would get halfway through the race and I couldn't see the finish line. And when you can't see the finish line, it's hard to keep on going. It's really hard. When you're hurt, when you're discouraged, when life is confusing, when there's barriers and problems and obstacles, there's a part of you that just says, how about if I sit down right here? What's it going to matter? Or how about if I just start walking instead of running? Or how about if I just quit altogether? And Paul says, our faith is like a race, and everyone competes for a crown. And there are certain things that God wants to be about in our lives. And Jesus, in telling us it is finished, was saying, I understood what my life was about, and I understood where God was asking me to go and what he was asking me to do, and I gave it everything I had, and I ran right to the tape. And I want to ask you this hard question that I've been thinking about myself. Where are you in that race? And when you get to the end, are you going to be able to say, it is finished? Because look, in this story, there are characters who had real trouble with that, who found themselves on the line. Look at Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And when you read that story, you get the sense that if Jesus hadn't come back and brought him back into the fold, Peter might have just wandered off the track forever. And you and I have spiritual experiences like that. We can go through something hard. We can go through a failure. We can go through a place where we feel like we have just gotten so far from where God is that we say, I think I'm just out of the race now. James and John slept in the garden while he was bleeding in such intense prayer. They ran away as he was hauled off to the cross. The guilt from that must have been huge. But there was one disciple who failed Jesus, who decided, I'm not going to finish my race. And it was Judas. Do you think that Jesus loved Judas any less than the rest? No. He didn't. He wasn't any less redeemable. His sin was no less than the others in that they all in some fashion denied him or ran away or betrayed him. Judas was so strong to his own face that he couldn't cope with it. And so instead of coming before God and saying, I have failed you, how could I have done that? Like Peter than James and John did. Asking for forgiveness and saying, this is not the end. Judas said, I'm done. Now, I don't know many people who actually commit suicide as Judas did because of this. Instead, they just quietly disappear, or they decide to ignore it or let it go. But it's always there. And when we look at how Jesus responded to Peter, James, and John after his resurrection, we realize that Judas really did not have anything to fear from the very Lord that he betrayed. Because if Judas had come to Jesus and said, my master, I am so broken that I did this to you. How could you ever forgive me? He would have discovered the very same Jesus that Peter found on the shore when he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. I still care about you, and I still love you, and I still have you as part of my plan, and I still want you to be there. But there are things that hold us back from the finish. And so often it's guilt or shame or something else that's stuck in us over something we did wrong or something we've left unfinished. And Jesus, through his death and through his encounters with his disciples afterwards, wants us to understand so clearly that the reason why he died was so that those moments could be redeemed. All we have to bring Jesus is ourself, and it is imperfect. We don't have anything else. We have to come to grips with the fact that no matter what good things we've done for God, they do not earn God's love or favor. And they certainly aren't a payment for the bad things that we've done. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came so that we could be free from all of that and free to say, what I really want to do is run with all my heart toward him and in the process become like him. That's what I really want to do. And I really want to lay it all out so that when I'm done, I can say, not out of guilt, not out of trying to earn God's love, but out of a sense of who's on the other side of that finish line. It's finished. I ran the race, I fought the fight, and now I just get to go and enjoy the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more easily stuff just tires me out. I have three little kids, and I'm 43. And I'm thinking to myself, when my son wants me to throw a baseball, I might be using a walker. I'm going to be taking a nap on the porch swing while he's trying to throw a football with me. Thank you. Amen, brother. And there's that inertia in me every night at 6 o'clock after dinner where I have to say, get up, body. It's time to play. It's time to be there. It's time to be present. I cannot slow down. And, you know, sometimes we have to do that spiritually. Come on. Get up, get moving. It's not time to slow down. God has so much more for me. I visited the nursing home yesterday. I saw two ladies who were 100 or more. Wow. Both of them said, I didn't expect to live this long. Something else. And Carolyn's mother said to me, "You know, Pastor, I'm 101. And I said, "I know. It's amazing, isn't it?" And she said to me, "There must be a reason God still has me here." I love that. Oh, I love it. There must be a reason God still has me here. I think if God's timetable is based upon finishing the work that he needs to do in me, I might live to 300. Thank God that's not the case. But he calls me to participate as much as I can in the race. To understand that I am not perfect. I don't even have to be right all the time. And that he loves me so deeply that he went to the cross on my behalf and said, "On my behalf, it's finished." What do you have left to do? What is unfinished? What do you want to make sure that when you get to the day that you die, you're able to say, "It is finished"? Let's pray. God, as we reflect upon Christ and his death, the work that he did, help us to be thoughtful about our own lives. You give us each day that we have on this earth and ask us to use it for your glory and for the joy of being with you and the people that we love. Help us to be thoughtful about that from time to time and to reflect upon what might still be unfinished in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 298, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Let's stand and sing that together. Say to you that one of the things that you can do, a very practical step that you can take to make sure that you're in the race and working toward finishing, is just to pick up your Bible and read it every day and allow God to speak to you. You will find God does amazing stuff when you do that. Would you join me in our closing prayer today? Let's read together.
My Lord,
your Son has suffered so much, shed so much blood. I was born with so many faults, and my nature is so full of weakness. And yet your Son, Jesus, has died on the cross for me. I know your grace has the power to cleanse me of my many sins and to make me more like your Son. Thank you for your goodness and love for me. I ask you, Father, to watch me always. Amen. Amen. And now as you go, I pray that the crucified Christ, who loves you enough to go to the cross, would call you to himself and you would run with all your soul, your heart, and your mind. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.